Greetings this morning, again in Christ's name, and a privilege to gather together to worship the Lord. Trust that it will be our experience today and be an encouragement to each of us as we have been looking into the Word, to welcome each one to the service, especially our visitors, family, and relation of various ones together for the Thanksgiving holiday, I guess. Welcome you here. And just each one that is here, may we continue the service thinking about what God has for us today. You may be, at least our visitors, may be expecting a Thanksgiving message. That is not the case for today. We had our Thanksgiving service, I guess, last Sunday. So won't be doing that today. Trust you won't be too disappointed in that. This morning I'd like to continue on with where I left off the last time in speaking in the Christian Home series. We have a lot of youth with us again today, and thankful for that. And the last time we looked at specifically looked at Christian courtship, and we did not get totally through that. We looked largely at the fact or the thing of being ready for courtship, looking at one's own life prior to the time of courting. And today I'd like to continue on with the thought of Christian courtship, but look more now specifically at the courtship time. I trust that this can be a beneficial time to each of us and to us as parents as well. I guess it just, as I studied this again, it just reminded me more of, or was impressed upon me more, the responsibility that we as parents have in this phase of life with our youth. And I guess that's the challenge I'd like to let with all of us parents as we go through this, to again remember the importance, just how important it is in us as parents giving direction to our children long before they come to the age even of where they begin looking for, thinking about a life's companion. There's a lot of work, a lot of groundwork that is done long before it gets to that point. And I trust as we go through this that some of that will maybe be made a little clearer in our minds. Just briefly, I'd like to go over some of the points that we covered the last time to get us to thinking a little bit, give us a little bit of groundwork here. Again, as I mentioned, largely we looked at leading up to and being prepared for Christian courtship. We began with looking at what Christian courtship is. Christian courtship is a sanctified friendship exercised in godly fear for the purpose of discerning God's will for their lives. It far transcends the haphazard lottery of random dating. It is sacredly serious, not merely social. For courtship to be Christian, both participants must be a fully committed child of God. For it to be Christian, let's keep that in mind. Both participants, not just one or the other, but they both need to be fully committed Christians. So, priority, a high priority, probably the highest priority, is total commitment to Christ and His church. We need to evaluate that, evaluate our commitment. True Christian courtship is sacred. It's a sacred interest between two God-fearing and God-loving Christians who are earnestly and sincerely seeking to know God's plan for their lives, know the purpose for keeping each other, the purpose of keeping each other's company is not merely entertainment. That is a thing that that we see in the world today. It is not just for entertainment, but it's for observation. It's a means of obtaining a clear, thorough understanding of each other's characteristics. It's a testing of the feasibility of blending two different personalities, two separate personalities into one blessed, harmonious union. God, the author of marriage, has created us in a special way. He's created each of us as social beings who need each other. Some things we talked about in being prepared for Christian courtship. Make sure that you're ready for marriage and its responsibilities before contemplating courtship. Make sure of that. There is a definite purpose and goal in courtship. I already mentioned that. It is to be purposeful in seeking a life's companion. The first step in trying to find, or the first step is not trying to find the right person for a marriage companion, but rather in being that right person yourself. That's what I mean by being ready before we enter into that phase in life. You know, finally, you will have to live with yourself whether you are married or not. Who will you serve? That needs to be first. These are some things that we touched on the last time. The most important preparation for courtship and marriage is to be a Christian. I mentioned that as well. Courtship is a serious step, and we can't do it on our own. You will need God's help. We talked a bit about discerning God's will in courtship. You simply cannot properly discern God's will on your own. God speaks to you through various means. Think of the Council of Parents. I believe that's very high on the list. God speaks to you through the counsel of your parents and through other godly Christians. The child of God has the Holy Spirit to guide him, and that's a help that we can't do without. We talked about the importance of prayer. We looked at seven or eight important points that need considered before courting. Be interesting to ask if any of you remember what they were. I don't believe we'll necessarily do that. It's been quite some time since we talked about this, but one of them was love the church. Very important. Needs to be considered before courting. Love the church. Is supporting and submitting to the body of Christ important? Another one was develop personal convictions. Those who are not stable enough to establish and uphold personal convictions are probably not ready for courtship. Another one, the third one, cultivate a pure heart. We tried to impress upon our minds the importance of a commitment to purity. Cultivate a pure heart long before entering into courtship. Fourth was appreciate your parents' authority and counsel. You know, your parents don't know everything. I believe I mentioned this the last time, that your parents don't know everything. That's true. We don't. But your parents love you and want what is best for you. And remember that experience has taught them a lot of things. The fifth one was value the contribution of others. You need the help and guidance of mature Christian friends. Sixth was learn how to evaluate character. Choose your friend by evaluating character. Your choice must be based on more than just your feelings, how you are feeling at this point in time. Rather than being influenced by outward beauty and charm, look for evidence that person is living close to the Lord and has a close relationship with him and striving to honor him. And then the seventh was maintain sobriety and dignity. This is a time that calls for seriousness. It calls for careful propriety. Well, moving on then to the thoughts, what we want to look at today, I'd like to focus more on how to conduct a Christian courtship. I'd like to begin with looking at a couple of familiar scriptures to lay a bit of groundwork for our thoughts. Turn, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 3. Some familiar passages here. Look at two verses here and then turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." There are three important things here that I want us to keep in mind as we go through this message. Number one, lean not unto thine own understanding. Let's remember that. Secondly, acknowledge Christ and he will direct you. And third, do all to the glory of God. There are probably some other things we could glean from these verses, but those three things especially stood out to me as I thought of this thing courting, Christian courtship. Courtship is meant to be a time of creating pleasant memories, growing spiritually, and building a lifelong friendship. It's a time for discovering God's will, and we've already alluded to that. Sad to say, for many, courtship becomes a headache. Things happen that courtship becomes a real headache to them. For many, it's being used as a time of sowing seeds that builds into lifelong regrets. For many, that is the case. It's ruining entire lives. Yes, there is forgiveness if a person comes to Christ in situations like that. But for many, it is simply ruining their lives. And this morning, we want to talk about Christian courtship in a society that has largely rejected godly principles. Christian courtship is radically different. To many, it looks quite radical. The things that I want to share this morning, the things that we have in God's Word, is to many it would look radical. To the world, it would look quite radical. A Christian's goals and ideals are pursuing after God and holiness. And there's so much that encompasses that thing of holiness. Therefore, if Christian goals and ideals are pursuing after God and holiness, Christian courtship practices must reflect that. It must reflect these characteristics. The outcome then is therefore just a lot different from the godless dating game, I could call it, the dating game of our society. That's what it's ending up being so much in society. I believe this morning that for a courtship to serve its intended purposes, I believe there would be a number of them, that you need some objectives to guide you. Make sure you use every moment of your time together in a God-honoring way. I believe that all activities and conversations together should contribute to growth, to spiritual growth, and to a stable, harmonious relationship from which to go on in life. If God leads that relationship to marriage, it will be a stable foundation to move from. Again, I'll say this a number of times, possibly in various ways, but courtship is about getting to know each other in preparation for marriage, and it should only be taken by those who are mature enough for that, for marriage. It's a time of observation and consideration. For two people to evaluate whether they are compatible for marriage, they must first learn to know each other. You must first learn to know each other. That is what courtship is all about. Just because you have that first date does not mean that you're going to get married. Now, I want to be careful here that I don't portray, light dating. Try dating and see if this works. Well, if this don't work, I'll go to another. We need to take it serious. But just because an individual had a date with someone does not automatically mean that they will be getting married. It's a time of getting acquainted, and that means a number of things. Getting acquainted means talking. It means listening. It means planning. It means doing things together, observing each other, evaluating the relationship in varying situations. That's what it's all about. A few things for you to consider. Young man, it's your responsibility to lead out in courtship. You should be an example of godliness and faithfulness rather than one that succumbs to peer pressure. And that is, the peer pressure thing is a big thing when it comes to this. We won't go a lot into that. I might mention it a bit later. But you are the one who should lead out in discussing particular ideals. You are the one who should lead out in making plans. You are responsible to lead out in Bible reading, prayer, spiritual discussions, and so on. It's your job to maintain a timely schedule. Might come back to some of this a bit later. When and where should you court? I'd like to touch on that just a bit. And the reason I want to touch on that, when and where you should court, I believe these two things have a huge bearing on the kind of courtship you will have. Somehow it seems to me that we're getting away from the practice of courting on Sunday afternoon. And I don't know, not sure what all I think about that. But I guess I refer back to the time that I was dating. But it seems to me as I look at that we're getting away from the practice of courting on Sunday afternoon. I'm not saying that's all bad. But I guess I just wonder what has brought about that change. What has brought about that the changes that we're seeing? I've noticed that often the change in time brings about another change, and that is the change in location. You think about that. The change in time has brought about a change in location. In my studying for this, I found that the historical practice among many of the plain people has been for the young man to visit the home of his friend's parents. Are we losing something when a couple goes to a restaurant for their first visit together? I will say that is what we did. We went to a restaurant for our first visit. Now, I'm not saying that is all wrong. These are just some things that come to me as I pondered these things. I guess I wonder sometimes if we aren't being influenced by the society around us and we don't really realize it. Something to think about. Are we being influenced by the society around us in some of these things and we don't really realize it? I guess I would just say this. Location can make a big difference in whether your visit tends to be more casual and lighthearted or more serious. Your location has a lot to do with that. If it's going to be more lighthearted, more casual, or if it's going to be of serious nature. And there's probably a place for both. a proper place, a proper time for both. But just some things to consider. Another very important thing to consider is the importance of communication. And this could be a big one. Communication is basic to wholesome courtship. I don't think we can overemphasize that. To make leisure and recreation the focus of courtship, I believe, tends to make some emotional attachments that can leave couples largely ignorant of one another rather than developing a true acquaintance. And you think about that. I believe that often tends to be the case. Talk about spiritual things in a God-honoring way. Of course, other things will enter in, and they need to enter in. But what do you find is the easiest to talk about? You know, individuals generally talk the most about the things they love the most, and it tells something about you. Young men, it tells something about you, where your interests are. Young women as well. I believe the highest priority should be discussing and discerning spiritual compatibility, not those things that I like and dislike in everyday life. Maybe they do come in, but whether I like a John Deere tractor or an International or whatever, girls have some thoughts on that too. But that's not what we're talking about here. That's not the most important in discerning compatibility. We need to be concerned the most about spiritual compatibility. Do you have similar convictions, similar goals and values? Those things must be talked about. Attend church services together as you have opportunities. You know, while you're not interacting with each other during the service, the inspiration that you receive certainly can provide a good starting point for spiritual conversations later. Let's just talk a bit here about some activities that I believe are good activities to be involved in. I want to put this in here in somewhere, and maybe this would be a good point for it, but I believe that it's good for couples to do things together. I believe it's good to do things together that give the other, it gives each other the opportunity to observe the way the other one is dealing with or relating to various situations. And I believe that's very important. The things I have here are quite common things, but I do believe they each give an opportunity to show some very important aspects in an individual. And you may think that some of these things really don't matter very much. Maybe they don't. I tend to think that they do. But I believe that if more attention were placed on these things, it would avoid more difficulties later on in life. I already mentioned one. Attend a church service together. What does this do? Well, it does a number of things. I believe this is an excellent opportunity to observe the spiritual level of your special friend. In what ways? Well, does he or she participate in singing? Is he or she right there and participating in the song service? Is he or she attentive as the word is being shared? That's really not very hard to observe if they're being attentive or not. Does he or she participate in Sunday school? What about after church? What is the topic of discussion? Is it about spiritual things, or does the discussion immediately go to the material things in life? Another activity that I believe is good is participate together in church activities. And this could be a number of things. Some things I thought about was tract distribution, street meetings, and things of that nature. What does this do? Well, again, it gives an opportunity to for some observing. Does he or she enjoy telling others about the Lord? Does he or she know what they believe, why they believe, what they do? Are they rather uncomfortable in sharing with someone their testimony? These things all tell you something that I believe you need to know. You need to find out about the person that you have special interest in. Another activity, visit someone who would really appreciate a visit. A shut-in, an elderly couple. Number of things could fit in here. This gives an opportunity to observe the respect for the elderly. Many young people today don't want to take the time to spend with older individuals. This tells you something about that person. If that is the case, it tells you something about that individual. Another activity, just a simple one. Plan a picnic or some outing with your special friend's family. What does this do? How does your friend relate to his or her family? How does he treat his father or mother or brothers, sisters? How does he or she relate to them? This gives an excellent opportunity, and I'm sure there are other opportunities as well, to tell these things. But again, something that I believe that is important for us to consider. These things tell a lot about your special friend. Another activity, share in Bible reading and prayer. And again, this is something that the young man needs to take the lead in planning and directing this. Is he comfortable in doing that? Is he comfortable? Can you tell? Is there depth to it, or is it just shallow on the surface things? Now, these things that we mentioned here, and I'm sure there will be a lot of other activities that we talked about. These things that we talked about can be somewhat difficult if there's distance involved. What if you're not from the same community? Then some of these things are not quite as easy to do. If you're not from the same community, it does present possibly some added challenges. Communicating with and observing your friend is not quite so easy. You know, when I was dating, phone calls were a bit more expensive than what they are today. I remember keeping pretty close track of how long I was on the phone. I'm not quite sure if it was necessarily had to do with the cost, or if it was just I could say how long I was on the phone, but it was more of a thing back then. Phone calls were more expensive. People talked or thought about that. And there was limitations. Cell phones were relatively new. It was a new. In my time of dating, cell phones were not very common, at least not the kind that we have today that we can easily stick in our pocket and carry with us. The world has presented many ways of communication that I believe are a real threat today. And I believe that this thing is creeping upon us more than what we realize at times. We don't maybe see it as a threat as much as what we should. I think of a number of things. Social networking. Even texting. The capability of having a phone on us at all times. I believe these things tend to lend themselves to a type of communication that is not conducive to a couple properly and fully learning to know each other. I believe they're a real threat to that. So often it lends itself to a lack of depth. There's not depth in communication with things like this. Another thing this kind of communication has the potential of doing is it makes it quite easy for a speedy, short courtship. Yes, there might be a lot of communication. There may be, but it's light. There's no depth to it. I think it's something to beware. When relationships, you know, when relationships start with a bang and it grows with a bang, it often ends with a bang. And if it don't end with that, it certainly at times all of a sudden brings up big things that we need to deal with. And often it's a result of not taking proper time, being too fast. I believe we need to allow time. You need to allow time for a relationship to grow. Constant communication does not give that time. And what do I mean by constant communication? There could be different things in there, but different things that I've heard of that just raise flags in my mind. A courting couple, very, very new in the courting process, sending texts every morning, good night, or good morning, and in the evening, good night. What's the matter with that? Well, maybe there isn't anything wrong with it. But you think about that. What is that doing? I think we need to think about that. What is that kind of communication doing? I believe that it's not allowing your relationship the space that it needs to grow properly. You think about that. It's not allowing the relationship the time, the space to really think about, to really be able to communicate properly and to grow together in a proper way. Just some things for us to ponder in that. Some things to beware. Has the world's method of communicating crept upon us and we don't really realize the dangers of it at times? Well, I'm sure that there are a lot of other activities we could talk about. It would be impossible to make a comprehensive list of all the wholesome activities that a courting couple could engage in. But any activity can be evaluated by asking the question, will it please the Lord? Will it help me to discern His will in finding a companion for life? Again, a working relationship between youth and parents is vital. Parents should communicate clearly their expectations regarding dating practices, regarding the frequency and length of dates, and what activities are acceptable or unacceptable. I believe it's important for young people to follow the directives of their parents and keep them up to date on where they're going, what they're doing, how their courtship is progressing, and so on. Well, we need to move on. I'd like to talk a bit about courtship standards. And as a basis for my thoughts on this, I want to read two short verses. You don't have to turn to these. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, as just part of the verse, it says, keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. I believe it's important. Extremely important to establish courtship standards. A budding friendship between a Christian young man and woman is a beautiful thing, but it is. It's a very beautiful thing because God designed the attraction between the sexes. It is holy and it's good as long as He is allowed to have control of it, as long as He is allowed to control it. However, I believe that we need to recognize that the devil also seeks to control it and to accomplish his purposes. He wants courtships to be dominated by the desires of the flesh rather than led and controlled by the Spirit. A Spirit-led courtship will focus on character and spiritual qualities. A fleshly-oriented courtship centers its attention on physical attractions and physical expressions of affection. That is certainly a fleshly-oriented courtship. To have a courtship that is an example of the believers, we must find, or we need to find from God's Word, what that is. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 gives us a little picture. Maybe let's just turn to that. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 tells us that the last days, talks a little bit about the last days, will be characterized by scoffers walking after their own lusts. 2 Peter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And then 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 5, it lists a number of things that men will do or be. It says, men shall be lovers of their own selves, and it gives a list of things, and one of those is incontinent, which means powerless in a moral sense, unrestrained. It says, despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I believe there's little that we can do to change the overall condition of the last days. God has said that would come, and I believe that we need to learn how we are to live in such times. The Christian certainly has the privilege of the Holy Spirit power to be an overcomer in these things. And we have the direction of God's Word to follow, and certainly that is a blessing. But what concerns me is that not only have the moral standards of the world declined as God said they would, but it seems to me that many Christians have somehow adapted to follow the acceptable norm in society. And many times there's not a realization that that is happening. Well, God told us this would happen too. Well, it's clear. It's clear on what God instructs us. God instructs us from such turn away. And I believe we need to be clear. I believe there needs to be a clear teaching about moral purity in these perilous times. The question may be asked, why have standards? What do standards do? First of all, I'd like to define what I mean by a courtship standard, and then I want to think about why we have standards and what they do for us. A courtship standard is a choice about dating conduct based on Bible principles that is put into practice. It's a choice about dating conduct based on Bible principles that is put into practice. It's a choice that you will not compromise on regardless of the consequences. There will be no compromise. So why have a standard? I have a number of things, I think four or five on that. Number one, the first thing I have is standards keep you as a couple from gradual decline. They keep you as a couple from gradual decline. Let's face it, the flesh is prone to decline. That's the way it is. From the fall of man, that's what we have. Again and again, the case has been that a relationship was started sincerely enough. But as time went on, what happens? Well, a number of things happen. It becomes more routine. It becomes more familiar. As a result, there's more relaxing. And as time went on, it easily happens to gradually lower the standards. And eventually, so often, it comes to the point when that happens that there is a surrendering to the control of the passions that are there. And it's only when couples stand firm It's only when they set firm standards and stand firm on them that the minds and consciences of both persons are alerted to the wrong direction when their original purity agreement is violated. Secondly, standards protect you from unexpected high-pressure situations. You know, while most couples ease into standard compromises, I believe that some couples find themselves caught in an it's okay situation. An example of this might be if you are with another dating couple who possibly has not set the standards that you have. We talked a little bit about peer pressure. That's something that is real. If they are doing it, then it must be okay. Setting your standards early in a relationship gives you strength to say no. Standards draw the line beyond which you will not go. The third thing, standards guard you from decisions based on feelings or passions. I believe that's a very important thing or a very important reason for having standards. They guard you from decisions based on feelings or passions. Emotions deceive. We know that. They can and will carry you away if you're not careful. Without courtship standards, you will make decisions based on emotional impulses. Standards keep you from living your emotions. They certainly help in that. Fourth thing, standards allow you to make decisions now. Waiting until you get into the middle of a tough situation to make a decision generally, oftentimes, will get you into trouble. If you wait to set a guideline until you're right in the middle of it, now I have to decide, what am I going to do? Generally, it gets you into trouble. Maybe you think you know what you will do, but you can never be sure. Those who wait to decide usually decide incorrectly. In those situations, there is often not time or even the desire to pray, to study Scripture, to seek counsel from a mature Christian. Standards allow you to make your decisions now. While you are thinking clearly, your feelings are under control and your desire is for God's best. That's the time to set courtship standards. Standards help you be victorious in other areas. Compromise is contagious, and when you begin to compromise in one area, so often there's a gradual decline and there's compromise in other areas as well. The last reason I have for having courtship standards is standards enable you to walk closer to God and His Word. Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14, it talks about the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. I think we know the verse there. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I believe courtship standards serve as guardrails to keep you on the narrow path. Improper courtship practices have caused many young people to fall into the ditch by the side of the road. And I believe that that standards help in keeping us in the center of the road, in the center of that narrow road. This morning, courtship standards are so important. They are very important. I believe there is a great reaping taking place in individuals' lives who have failed in setting standards in their courtship. If you fail to maintain courtship standards, high standard, I believe there are a lot of areas that this will affect. It'll affect your relationship with God, number one. It'll have a serious effect on that. Yes, God loves you very much and wants you to love him in return. But when disobedience comes in your life, it damages that relationship with God. Another area that it affects is your feeling of peace toward yourself as a person. You know, when you do wrong, you feel guilty. Yes, that's the Holy Spirit's work. things begin to happen. Fears and insecurities may creep into your life. Negative thoughts become more negative, and life loses its joy. Your feeling of peace toward your person or toward yourself as a person, it affects that. Another thing it affects is your testimony for Christ. I believe there are few areas that can discredit your Christian witness quicker than compromise in your courtship. You are being watched. No one is fooled when you talk one way during the week and act another way over the weekend. You are being watched. Word gets around. Observations are being made. Your testimony for Christ will have no appeal to others if there is failures. Another thing it affects is your wedding. One of the greatest moments in life is the day you get married. The couple that goes to the marriage altar and has not kept their commitments to each other by way of standards will lack the joy that they could have, the joy that could be there, that should rightfully be theirs. You know, it's amazing how different a courtship looks when a couple is looking back. I find that in my life. It looks a lot different as I look back to that time. Another thing that is affected is your marriage. Failures in courtship often plague a couple throughout their married life. And it's very important. It's a must that those failures be repented of. The sinful involvements are repented of. And there's forgiveness extended to each other. And when this is done, the marriage can be happy. It can be in Christ. But there will always be painful memories of the failures. Well, we need to bring this to close. You may now be asking the question, just how can proper courtship standards be made and kept? Do as Daniel. I think Daniel is a tremendous example of a standard being set in his life. No, it wasn't a courtship standard, but he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself there in Daniel 1:8. Determination is not necessarily, it does not necessarily ensure success, but it is certainly a vital ingredient. Purpose in your heart. See purity as a spiritual battle and follow Joseph's example when he said there in Genesis 39, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See it as a spiritual battle. Christ's instruction for victory is found in Matthew 26, verse 41. It says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Pray for God's Spirit to help you control your mind. Another thing that is very important in making and keeping courtship standards is keep communication open with your parents. Keep communicating with your parents. Feel free to share your struggles with them and ask their counsel. Know and respect their expectations for your courtship standards. Maintain a high respect for the character and total well-being of your friend. Keep that in mind, and it will go a long ways. Cherish purity as a priceless possession. And how wonderful to approach the marriage altar, knowing that both of you, by God's power, have kept yourselves pure for Him and for each other. I believe these things will go a long way in helping you make courtship standards and be able to stand firm in keeping them. In conclusion, I'd just like to say that there are great, great blessings in a God-honoring, Spirit-led courtship. There certainly are. A Christian couple will enjoy many happy times together as they follow God's leading through their courtship days. There will be many happy times together. Their friendship will be a period of personal growth for both of them as they strengthen each other's character. They will know the deep satisfaction that we're in God's will. It was God's will. We were in God's will during this time. Their holiness will honor God's name by sending a clear message to the watching world. In years to come, they can reflect on their courtship as a pleasant memory of a clear conscience. Wonderful blessings that can be experienced as we allow God to direct our lives and stand firm in our courtship standards of following God's outline. The foundation will have been laid for a godly home and an example set for the generations to come if the Lord tarries. And that's a wonderful blessing. I trust that you as young people will rise to the challenge before you, and as we have learned from those before us, that you too will learn from the spiritual men and women of our generation and establish strong homes and families. That's certainly my desire for each of you, and it is attainable. With God's help, with the help of the brotherhood, Christian friends, it is attainable. Yes, there is so much at stake in courtship. Though it is an exciting time, it certainly is that. Remember, it is also a very serious time. And just think again of the little poem or the little saying that I believe I read it the last time. Your life lies before you like a path of driven snow. Be careful how you tread it, for every step will show. It will show. It will make a huge difference in your life. Let's allow God to direct our lives in this. Let's kneel for prayer.